Great day, amazing human. Welcome to the Empowered in My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans, empower humans. So you are in the right spot to become a lead domino for empowerment today. My name is Inke Chi. I'm not only your host, but I am a vibrant optimist obsessed to bring you empowering content with each episode. We will be bringing you content alternating between longer episodes with featured guests and shorter episodes called Empowering Bites, where I'll be joined by my co-host, Gabby Mamone. So if you're ready, let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans. Welcome. We are right smack dab in International Women's Month. So guess what? The human I'm about to interview identifies as she and hers. That's right. We're repping International Women's Month this month and interviewing some amazing, amazing women who lead from vibrant spaces. So our next guest is more than a speaker. She's a conversation starter, a story weaver, and a catalyst for change. Now you know why she's on the podcast. Combining humor, approachability, and a deep understanding of the human experience, she encourages audience to challenge their perceptions, embrace diversity, and foster a culture of inclusion. With her unique ability to foster connections, she's driven by her mission to transform workplaces into more exclusive, vibrant, and equitable environments. So I trust you're as excited as I am to learn more about our guests. So please join me in a gigantic podcast welcome for Barbara Yebuga. You know who you just remind me in a minute? Bozoma St. John.
Who?
Bozoma. When I just looked. That's a compliment, right?
Can I get that in writing? And if you want to post that on any of my social media platforms, if you want to give me a LinkedIn recommendation. We all heard it here first, right?
Yeah, I just saw your posture and I was like, ooh, that reminded me of Boz. Yeah, man. She's so awesome.
Boz is my, like, that's my Shiro. You want to talk, like, happy International Women's Day to all the women out there. And I'll even get emotional. Yo, she's a big part when I make moves and decisions, I'm like, what would Boz do? Mm. How would she play this? What, she is just someone that I only imagined in my mind, to see someone like that in living, breathing form and being unapologetically herself.
I know, she's bad, eh?
Being strong, being sexy, being smart. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Oh, we could have a whole episode on her. So don't get me started.
It's so funny. The biggest thing about Bo's did for me in 2022, there was an interview that she did. I think she had just left Netflix. Mm-hmm. And she said, when you can look left and right and ask yourself, am I still growing? And the answer is no, then you know that it's time for you to leave. And so I was in a space in my life where that was the catalyst for me leaving my organization I'd been at for 11 years and daring to try something different that really put me out in the front and exposed me into a really scary new place, right? So
It's having that, like, the courage and the audacity to dream such a dream. That's what I think of her. She's just the ultimate boss. And working for these giants, Netflix, the Pepsis, Uber. The list goes on. Like, these are brands. Yeah, okay. Yeah, these are giants.
And she put them on the map. Let's just be real. She made them cool.
If you are listening to this right now and you do not know the woman we're talking about, please, please, please find her. She is such an inspiration, just as a human, as a business person. Her business acumen is unlike anything I've seen. Yeah. And she is really paving the way when you think of, and many people don't know her. You know, I talk a lot about trailblazers and people who are behind the scenes who you may not know are doing just amazing things. She's behind these big Super Bowl performances. You see Beyonce on stage.
Yeah, she's
orchestrating this.
She put Beyonce on the map from way back when.
She put Beyonce on the map.
Even,
how many people can say that?
She even what's called? Look at us talking about Apple Music. That's
Apple
another
Music,
one, right? Yeah, man.
Yep.
Pepsi.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, she has a story with Spike. Like, her story involves Spike. Oh my gosh.
With Spike, exactly. With Spike Lee. And oh my goodness. Yeah, so we do not work for Bose for the
No,
the
no,
record.
By the
she's
way.
She's not paying us to do this.
We might have to tag her. We might just have to tag her.
Yeah, I will always sing her praises any chance I get. Big ups.
Yeah, I think I'm going to cut out this part of this interview and put it on Instagram and tag her, and then you'll share.
Please, yes, let's do. Yes, yeah. Oh yes, we need to let her know.
So I want to talk. I want to talk about the word that you just used in a minute, audacity. But my first, the first question. By the way, let's start this interview now.
Right. As we were back to what we were talking about, what we're here for.
So I wanted to know, what is your most empowered thought that you've had of the day so far?
Ooh. The most empowered thought that I've had today. You know, I, it's no secret. There's so much going on in the world. There's so much, people are dealing with so much in their personal lives, in their head. Mental health is real as far as the struggles people are having. And I'm not going to lie, even today, I was excited to talk to you today and be on the podcast. But I also had a feeling of, to get out of bed today and to do the work as far as what I do, bringing, you know, people and cultures, my heartbeat and what I do, and making sure that, you know, I leave this place as a good ancestor. Yeah. Like, as an ancestor, I want to know I did my part to create a more inclusive world, a more just world, a world where we can truly be our best selves.
Yeah.
So for the days that I'm kind of like, today was a bit of a, it was one of those days I was dragging myself out of bed. I'm going to be honest. And I thought to myself, you know, Barb, you have a job to do. And my dad would always say, be soft on people, tough on problems. And I'd always carry that with me when I was up against a challenge, or when I just felt like, today it feels like an uphill battle. I always keep that with me, where it's like, that's how you need to move as a leader, whether you're a mother leading your family, you're in a partnership, in work. Remember, when things get tough, or when we inevitably get annoyed with people, frustrated, remember to be, you know, be persistent on being hard on those problems and challenges and finding those solutions, and being soft on people, because we need, if there's anything we need more of, it's empathy and compassion and understanding. So that one I give up to my dad, John Yubuga, rest in peace.
Oh my gosh, we're both, we have so much ties, because my dad's a rest in peace as well, and I'm daddy's girl. But I actually want to double click on this. So first of all, let me just backtrack for people, because I need to be fully transparent, because it's relevant. So Barb and I are actually recording this in 2023.
It's a true story.
That's a true story. Okay. Yeah. I'm just being honest. And it's November 4th. And I told her that, because we do all of these scheduling for the podcast, what I realized is that we overbooked, and we overbooked by two. And so her episode is actually the first. It is going to kick off, but I want everyone to understand this when you do listen to it, that what she just said is so relevant for the day that you're listening to this. Like, you know, sometimes I think we take for granted that the things that we say today don't have an impact in the future. And I just want to really express that you have said something today that on March 6, 2024, when somebody listens to this, it's going to be what they need for that day. Soft on people, tough on problems. That's huge. That's huge. Tell me more about your dad and your relationship.
Oh my goodness. My dad, well, like you, so we both have that in common. We've gained some guardian angels and some guidance on the other side. It's how I like to see it. I was a daddy's girl. I still am. He's someone who always, education was huge for my dad. It was huge, huge, huge. And he worked in the school system, Toronto School Board. He was a social worker. My mother also was an educator. So that was very important. He always said, you know, I will make sure you have a roof over your head and food on the table, clothes on your back. That's my contribution to the family. Your contribution is to study. So I moved through life with that just kind of being a top priority. And he was someone who was like my go-to person for everything. So I was involved in figure skating, dance, gymnastics, brownies, Girl Scouts, all of that. He was the one driving me to all of these things. He was the one, you know, that typical dad, like driving me and my friends to the movies and all of that. So I very early in my life, I mean, having a strong male figure, it was all I knew. My dad really was my hero. And I mean hero in the sense of, you know, he loved me, of course, mm-hmm. he provided for me, but he was someone who really helped me think about, okay, what's the impact you want to have,
yeah.
you know, and always feeling empowered. Like, no, yeah. you don't not going to feel helpless.
Yeah.
You can do something, right? You yeah. always can do something. He came here and my family came here through Amnesty International. He was actually a prisoner of conscience.
Oh, wow.
In Sudan. So he was, you know, speaking up about the injustices he was seeing yeah. in Uganda, and that got him in trouble. And he was put behind bars, and he suffered. He doesn't talk about it too much. Mm-hmm. My mom and, you know, my close family friends who were witnessed that and were with him during that time share the stories. But him coming here through Amnesty International, it was a big deal. It was a big BBC. They had a whole campaign. Mm. And up till now, I support Amnesty International because I owe them my life, right? Mm. Our family. And so just having that, that idea of social justice and equality and equity and inclusion, that really was my foundation through my father and my mother. So
wow,
I owe him that. Yeah,
that's
yeah, big. I definitely you know, owe my dad for that.
It's funny. I spoke Bose's name when I looked at you, and I yeah. thank Nelson Mandela when you just shared that story. So,
my gosh,
look at like what you emulate. I think that's huge, right?
Yeah, and that's first of all huge, and I'm gonna ask, can I get that in writing? And again, feel free. Posted on my LinkedIn, Barbara
testimonial.
Yabuga. Testimonial.
Yes, I will.
That's huge because it's Nelson Mandela. I don't need to say anymore. I don't wake up thinking, I'm going to fight the power,
yeah.
fight the powers that be. That's not really my mentality. Shout out to folks that do move through the world like that. We all have our own ways of moving through this world. For me, it was just... It's just like when you sneeze, you blink,
it's
your eyes just
innate.
By default close.
It's in your DNA.
It's just innate. I don't know how to not react when I see something that's just unfair. And that was something from when I was playing in, you know, the sandbox on the playground. And I saw, you know, Bobby had the ball longer than Susie. And I was all up in there like, that's not fair.
Yeah.
We need to play fairly. This is not, I was from then managing, you know, managing relationships and making sure everyone got to play and participate fairly. But I know what it's like to not feel included. I know what it's like to be dismissed and underrated. I know what it's like just to not feel like you belong.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot changed for me when I became an auntie. Like when I became Auntie Barb, and shout out to my nephews, Akil, Asa. Those are just two of many. I have a huge community of nieces and nephews. But that changed a lot for me where I thought to myself, oh my goodness, they're going to move through this world. And they need to, I want to make sure they understand their worth. I want to make sure that they have a healthy self-esteem. I love the fact that they still don't understand why Barack Obama was such a big deal. I love that. And also, I love that I get the opportunity to share where we've come from, right? And I'm not talking about slavery days, which, you know, I'm African Canadian, as are you. Mm-hmm. So slavery, as far as my lineage, that's not part of my history. Mm-hmm. So, but we know that here in like North America, that narrative is often constantly put on us as far as how what we were up against. And I celebrate that. And I love that we have overcome so much. And we just have such a rich history that I want to make sure that the next generation is aware of.
Yeah. You know, and I love that. So I'm telling you the parallels. I don't know how we haven't met before. You know what? Doesn't matter. We know each other now. But I remember it prompted a story that I, you know, in my youth where I grew up in, my parents came here on their own to get, my dad more so to get education in 1964. And then they ended up staying because of the Biafra War in Nigeria. And so, and very much like you, education was was the foundation of upbringing, right? But I remember in school, and so my dad parents were well-to-do. They can move anywhere. And they moved, plopped into a white neighborhood. But this is all in hindsight. Like, they didn't even know it because they didn't see themselves as Black. They were Nigerian. They're educated. They're doing well. Well, where do educated people live? And, you know, they kind of went. Yeah. And so it just happened to be and they were pioneers because we were the first Blacks in the community, the four of us. Yeah. I call four speckles of Black. And a diverse community grew around us, right? Like, a Black family moved next door. The Njukan, they have, like, nine kids. And then across the street, there was like South Asian, and then there was Asian. And so we saw, over the 25 years of us living in Montreal and Beaconsfield, a diverse community. And I feel like my parents were like a catalyst for that. But anyway, all of that to say, I remember in school, because of what they learned, there was kids that would tease me and say, my grandfather owned your grandmother. And I would go home crying. It was a situation. That was what was said. I went home crying. And my mom said, I'm not in Kitchi. Haven't you been to the village? You know, did you see a white man with mama? Like, she would call my grandmother's name. Like, did you see a white man talking to grandma? I was like, no. So how? Go back to school and tell them.
Oh my God. That's
not true for you, right? And so, like, doesn't that teach us something about? I love what you said, like our ancestry, like our history, that we don't have to fall victim. And that's what these kids need to learn today. So what do you think, based on that, and this is like, apologies to my team, because this is none of the questions that they researched.
Sorry to the producers. I'm so sorry. But we're not following the script.
What's the biggest thing that you're teaching your nieces and nephews, like your, you know, about how to own their identity?
I love that question. For me, it's exposure. So shameless plug, I wrote a book called Trailblazers in Canada. Shout out to my publishers, Pearson Canada. And it is a collection of stories of trailblazers, folks that did things that were never done before. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about big things. We talked about Uber earlier. The first Uber, quote unquote, here in Canada was led and created by a Black couple, the Blackburns. And a lot of us don't know that, right? Yeah. I talk about politicians that really like paved the way. Mifflin Gibbs, he's another one. There's just so many stories that are buried. And working on that book was it filled my cup up. I worked on it like it was my baby. I worked on this so much and I was so inspired. And I was also kind of pissed off because I was like, how am I a grown adult who born, raised in Canada and I did not know any of this? I was someone who was always reading. I loved the library. I was quite the astute student. How is this buried? And why is it that every year I was being taught the same narrative about folks that look like myself? So for me to answer your question, it's exposure. Mm-hmm. So I wrote that book, Trailblazers in Canada. And I'm actually working on another project. You would appreciate this being in tech, you know, Trailblazers in STEM, you know, and I'm focusing on Black, yeah, you and I are going to have to maybe have a part two and talk about that. Yes, there's just, I want more representation in STEM. And the joke is there is actually a lot of representation. But again, if we're not seeing it, if we're not exposed, how is the next generation going to know that it's a possibility? Yeah. You know, we were talking about Bose earlier. To see Bose, I'm inspired to know, okay, it's possible. Yeah. And you're able to expand your imagination, right, of what's possible. Yeah. So for me, how I encourage, you know, younger people to be authentic and to kind of find their own way and be true to themselves is I expose them to all the possibilities and let them know that there's no one way to be, quote unquote, a boy or quote unquote, a girl or quote unquote, Black or, you know, African, Nigerian, Ugandan. No, we are so diverse. There's so much diversity and diversity. I always say that. And there's only one you. So, and there's so many possibilities of what you can do with your life and your skill set. And, you know, so I'm all about exposure. Just expose, tell our stories. Being African, storytelling is huge. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not unique to Africans. I think in a lot of cultures, we pass on knowledge, you know, in our history through storytelling. Yeah. So that's a big part of like the work I do. And I go into schools. I work with about 12 different school boards and have gone to dozens of mm-hmm. schools and work with young children to make sure that not just for the children that look like me, right? This is our history. Yeah. These trailblazers, they didn't just pave the way for, you know, Black folks. They definitely did, but they paved the way for a lot of folks, right? Yeah. For all of us. Period. They were all part of helping us have a more equitable, you know, world and society. Yeah. So exposure.
That's huge. You know, exposure is everything. And, I even think like where we are on today. And so, by the way, we are going to have that tech conversation because I think as part of the, I started a movement called WIT Love. So Women in Tech Love.
Okay.
And so I'm using that movement to connect young girls to professional women in tech. And so they interview them in through like the podcast and host them. And it encourages the girls to learn how to be insatiably curious. Exposure, right? It's to give them exposure to what's possible, you know?
Yep.
Exposure is everything. Let me ask you something. So do you think, so when you reflect on your life as a catalyst for, I want to dig into you being a catalyst for change. Yeah. So what were you exposed to that you believe was your biggest catalyst for who you are on today?
You're coming through with these good questions. Jeez. So my story, as far as my upbringing, I was in a very, very diverse community. Like when my parents came and settled in Canada, I wasn't born yet. And I think a couple years after they settled, they had me. And so we lived downtown Toronto, actually across the street from what we know as Regent Park. For those of you who are from Toronto, you may be familiar. So it was a city. It was multicultural. We would parties, dinners. I had a Filipino aunt. I had a, you know, Italian uncle. I had, you know, it was so diverse. Pakistanian uncle. We just were all this melting pot, just a masala of folks. And it was great. So that's all I knew growing up. And then we moved to the suburbs, to Mississauga. And at that time it was dirt roads. It was, we were the only, you know, the only, non-white folk, period, you know? So that was quite the experience. And I think for me, because I was exposed to so many different cultures and people with different abilities, and they all did amazing things. They were teachers, lawyers, doctors, you name it. My parents, in addition to that, also raised me to really believe in myself and acknowledge that the opinions that others have on me is none of my business. The only thing that matters is how I feel about myself and being sure that I'm honoring, you know, my values. Be a good person, golden rule. So when I got older and I started to see that things, like now I'm talking about older, now I'm working in corporate world and I'm seeing how the systems that be operate, and I'm seeing the folks, what they look like, who is making the decisions and who isn't, that changed a lot for me. And it changed a lot for me because I remember having a manager and she had some very, very just twisted views on Black folks specifically. And she believed that Black folks, or her words were, Black folks were created to drown. Their bodies are made that they can't swim. They're unable. I'm a swimming instructor and I've noticed that they always drown. And that's just what it is. And I was so confused because I come from a family of folks that swim. My grandmother swam with my pregnant mom on her back, you know what I mean? By the Nile. Like we're active swimmers. So, but she was so certain, like, no, this is the truth. And I'm scratching my head because I'm like, you have a bigger paycheck than me. You manage me and you truly believe this is the truth, that Black people, her words, are created to drown. And then there were so many other just very confusing, just straight up racist and discriminatory words that would come out of her mouth. And what concerned me was that, yes, as my parents raised me to believe, the opinions of others, none of my business. But then I'm like, but now her opinion matters because that's my bonus. That's my promotion, right? That's her opinion of me. I have to care about what she thinks. And when I, you know, had a conversation, I'm all about let's lean into having those uncomfortable conversations or those courageous conversations. And when I told her, you know, she needs to be mindful of what she's saying and kind of gave her a little schooling, her feedback to me was, well, Barbara, that was what I was taught. you know, she was an immigrant here from Poland. And she said, you know, where I came from in schools, that's what I was taught. Shout out to all my Polish folks that are listening. Lots of love for you. I have a lot of Polish friends, so this is not an attack on you. Let me put that out there from now. But she and I started to engage. And what I learned is education, back to education. That's what mattered. And I'm like, wow, you made it through your whole life. And now, you know, you've made it. You're in the corporate world, you're managing teams, and you've lived your whole life with this mentality that there is a defect, or, you know, Black folks are less than in some capacity. And it's because of what she was taught in school. Yeah. And that's what inspired me to work with, you know, folks like Pearson to get my book, to write books and have it exposed and in the school system so that we're really being mindful of how we're teaching and educating our students. Because guess what? They turn out to be adults, grown adults that run businesses and organizations.
So,
yes,
education is exposure.
Education is exposure. And turning point for me was realizing as an adult, people can still have these very narrow viewpoints. And so that was a turning point for me as an adult, seeing that and realizing, okay, I need to shift gears here. And education is really going to be what I'm going to push for. So I started to do working a lot with human resources, people and culture to discuss about like unconscious bias, those kind of things, recruitment processes, et cetera.
So we're going to double click on that now. So first of all, Catalyst for Change, amen. You are, love it. I'm loving your story. So diversity and inclusion can be seen as buzzwords, right? Especially in this day and age, especially in the corporate world. Amen to that. Yeah. So how do you distinguish between genuine commitment to these values and performative actions? And the reason why I think that this is so important is because we are, we are so far from, let's just say, so far from George Floyd. And there's fatigue in the system, and not just for Black people, but Indigenous and, right, just diversity, inclusion as well. And even if I think about some of the circles I'm in, I'm finding that it's, where are my women at? Like, I'm back to just gender diversity, right, and inclusion. So how do you distinguish between genuine commitment versus people that are just rearranging the furniture so it looks like they do diversity and inclusion really, really well?
I love this question. So I need to speak to where we are, just how we engage in our like society socially, which is social media. And I know it's so cliche to talk about social media, but that's how we engage a lot. That's where, you know, we had the hashtags and the black squares. And I feel like we're at a place where if you don't show the receipts, if you're not posting that hashtag, if you're not putting out a statement, you're not doing the work. And look, there's definitely a place to speak up. Like, and I'm talking to those big organizations and corporations where there are times where you need to be explicit as far as where you stand when they're big social moments. But I'm speaking more towards the everyday person, you know, the mother, the father, the auntie, the uncle, whomever you are, just in your day-to-day life. I always think of, you know, the conversations I've had even with my friends who are mothers, who are reading stories to their children, who are having conversations at the dining room table, who are having, you know, one of my friends having an uncomfortable conversation with her white husband, you know, about the experiences she's had as a marginalized person. And these are moments that, you know, you're not going to capture that and post it on social media. You're not having those intimate moments really shared with the world. And I don't think you need to, you know? So I think what I'm getting at is when you look at the real commitment to this DE&I work, it has a lot to do with your private moments. It's actually personal work. And it's a day-to-day thing. So for me, it's how have you set up your life where you are actually making sure that you're continuing to learn and unlearn. So for me, a very practical or tactical approach I had was I noticed on my news feeds, there were a lot of people that I agreed with. There were a lot of people that looked like me, that talked like me, that had similar experiences as me. And yes, I like to see myself and reaffirm myself and see myself reflected, but I could see how also that's very problematic. So I took the approach of, okay, we're fortunate to live in a time with technology where we're exposed to so many things. I'm going to switch the different news outlets, you know, that I'm following and watching, just to have diverse perspectives. and ensure that you're constantly, again, learning, unlearning, relearning. So again, I think that how to really stay the course and differentiate the performers versus those that are really dedicated. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, it's a personal journey. I'm not here to really police people and say, hey, are you doing your D&I work? Mm-hmm. No. And also I want to say, with all these acronyms, letters, DEI, EDI, mm-hmm. there's a J in there, that I think for where I'm sitting, you know, we're in the Toronto area. Diversity is a given. We live in a very yeah. diverse spot. So for me, it's the inclusion and equity that I really have been, you know, exploring a lot, just because of where the clients I work with and where I am. Right. And also, you know, don't just have diversity for diversity's sake. Really yeah. take time to, whether it's bringing consultants, really looking at, okay, when it comes to leaders, you know, what's the gender representation? What's the racial representation? Yeah. What's the skill set, the yeah. backgrounds? You know, I really work with a lot of companies on seeing even just the requirements for some of these roles, right? Yeah. And seeing how often we discriminate those who have educations outside yeah. of, you know, Canada and America. There's so much opportunity to do this work, again, from a corporate level and a personal level. But you need to be committed to it, right? Yeah. Like, you really need to be committed to it and understand what your unique path is to continuing that learning and unlearning.
You know, I love the fact that you talk about learning, and then to learn, you have to unlearn, right? And I think you have to, it's almost like you have to choose every day to say, I'm going to approach this day unlearned, so that as yeah. I hear new things, I can say, okay, this is, I'm going to use this to add to what I've thought previously and course correct, or this, any other. You have to be that willing and that open every single day.
It's like Brené Brown says, I love this quote from her. We're not here to be right. We're here to get it right. Woo. And right. She's I love big. It. I love that quote. And so that's, if we can move with that compass, right? If we can move with that alignment and that clarity for ourselves, yeah. I think we'll be
it's
okay. Big.
It's really huge. Girlfriend, mm-hmm. So first of all, like, this has been so
I know. Has the time gone already?
I know. I have to go into my rapid thrivers. And right? Like, I feel like there might be a part two somewhere.
We might have to. Let us know if you want a part two.
because there's, wow, you are, I feel so good. And I, like I said to everyone, you know, we are recording this in November of 2023. But I see so much future with you.
Mm.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. This has I been such so a much pleasure
with you. And I'm actually happy that this is in the future, because it means that we're just going to continue to do some work together.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Yeah. You heard it here.
Yeah. Yeah.
You heard it here. Yeah.
So I want to take you into some rapid fibers, which in the end get us to know a little bit more about you. So when you think of someone who inspires you, who comes first to mind?
Ooh, someone who inspires my parents. Mm. Yeah.
Have you lost both your parents?
No, oh, okay. My mom's here, mm-hmm. you know, thankful for that. Mm-hmm. I just see the journey that they took, the chance they took on themselves, their love story, my mom staying with my dad through mm-hmm. it all, and them coming here and seeing them even separate for some time and come back mm-hmm. and my four siblings they've given me. My parents truly are, and the life they've given me, I'm really grateful for them.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. What is a book that has helped you with your self-empowerment?
Oh, gosh, that's so hard, because there's so many. One? That's very hard. I can't do one. There's one that, like, recently I've been rereading Bob Joseph, Things You Didn't Know About the Indian Act. It's a really, really good book. I read it. Yeah, I'm rereading it. I think I even have it like by me, because I'm always reading it. Yeah. 21 Things You Didn't Know About the Indian Act.
I love that. Okay, yeah. That's new. Okay. Okay. I'm gonna have
shout
to
out to Bob Joseph. Check
that
yeah. one out.
Bob Joseph. Okay, yeah. What is a daily activity, Barb, that helps you stay empowered?
Power walking. I love to power walk. It just gets my blood going, got a good playlist going or a good podcast.
That's
empowered in my skin, maybe I'm listening to as I'm power rocking, I'm feeling empowered.
You are the first in 260, I think it's gonna be like 68 or 69 episodes to say that.
Really?
No, power walking. I've heard power walking, that's different because that's a whole different type of
it's a whole walk. I'm very passionate about it. Yeah, power walking. Shout out to my power walkers.
What is an app that helps you stay empowered?
Ooh, I've currently been using the Calm app. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my friends at Green Shield. They've Lori Blandford, Harriet. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks at Green Shield have introduced me to that app, and it's great. It's like meditation. Mm-hmm. It's different podcasts just to help with your wellness and well-being.
Do you use it every day?
I use it almost every day. I have a roster of resources depending on how my day is that I can pick at. Mm-hmm.
I love that. So I have a question for you. Just this is maybe like 4.5 on the, what is your daily habit? Like your environment that you create to stay empowered?
My daily habit. So my daily habit would be incense. Mm. I burn me a little notch up incense. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah.
So scents help you.
Yes. Scents really, really, really help me. Yeah.
What else?
Absolutely. Meditation. I do meditate quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I have a playlist that I go where it's just all sounds and it helps me sleep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Favorite song on your playlist? Music playlist. Ooh,
favorite song on my playlist?
That one that pumps you up.
Right now, Me and You by Thames.
Okay.
That's been on repeat. Again, this is November 2023,
If I had to introduce you on stage as the keynote speaker and a song played, is that the one that comes on for you?
Oh, no. Okay. Now that's a different contest. Yeah, if you're putting that, it may be like, maybe something like Black Parade or Energy.
Okay.
Oh, so cliche, a Beyonce song, but yes. I was trying to be unique and find something different.
Mine for 2023 is All I Do Is Win, 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 win no matter win. What.
Yes.
And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands
go up.
Stay down.
Yeah. That. Or win, 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 win. That's a big tune of mine. There's a bit of explicit lyrics in it, but it gets me pumped.
Okay, we'll have to find the clean version. Yes. And last question, last rapid thriver for you is, what is one misconception that people have of you as they see you take the stage or, you know, sort of even when they listen to this podcast and they hear your insights? What is one misconception that people have of you as they see you empowered in this world?
That's a good question. They may not know that actually I was very, very shy growing up, like extremely shy. My parents actually got me a specialist because I was terrified to speak with people and in front of people. Oh, it was a problem. Like I even had a speech therapist and it was a whole thing. Oh yeah. Like my parents were genuinely concerned. So like to see me do what I do now and on stages, it's quite the trip for people who knew me back then.
And especially the way you energize the rooms and the spaces, everything tunes to you. That thing.
No, it's been the most, the juxtaposition from going from being so shy. And I've got to be on stage with amazing people, prime minister, with Jean Grandchamp, with Oprah. I got to be with her. Like there's so many big moments in my career. And I keep thinking of that little girl who would never have imagined to do something like that.
Wow, that's empowering. So where do we find more of you online?
You can find me. I'm on most social media platforms, LinkedIn, Instagram, my website, and it's just my name, Barbara Yabuga. Okay. B-A-R-B-A-R-A, last name Y-E-B-U-G-A. I'm friendly. I put on a lot of content, especially on LinkedIn. So meet me. I do a lot of workshops with organizations and folks in people and culture, human resources. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for me to come do foundational DEI work with your employees or leadership training or mental health is also a big one. I do the mental health hygiene of organizations. Mm-hmm. So reach out to me. I genuinely love connecting with people and just learning where people are at in their journey. And let's do this together. We're all all ancestors in due time. We all have work to do. We all have a responsibility to leave this world, this place better than, you know, better than it was. So I really am here as a human being. Besides all the identities we all have, we're humans first. So, big love to everyone, everyone. Let's be gentle with each other, please, please.
Yeah. And so parting question, this podcast is called Empowered in My Skin. Mm-hmm. And what does it mean to you to be empowered in my skin?
Empowered in my skin to me is embracing, accepting, and loving all of you, you know, and understanding that there's no bad part of you, right? Yeah. There are areas that we want to improve, we want to, you know, do better in, but we are perfect the way we are, right? We are truly wonderful beings. And the fact that we're even here, you know, what it took for us to be physically here and right now. Yeah. And like specifically to all the women, I just have such a big place in my heart for women. Yes, I am a woman. And I've just seen how women have shown up consistently and how they truly are the foundation of our society. And I just want to send so much love to women because we're amazing, you know, and just know that you are perfect and divine in your own right. And continue to shine your light, continue to be your amazing, authentic self. The world needs it. Yes. The world needs you to come out and be your best authentic self.
Wow. My friend, you are truly a catalyst for change.
Oh,
and this experience actually has just really changed the trajectory of my day. So you do this by, what is it that our greatest and our deepest fear always talks about? When you're liberated from your own fear, you automatically liberate others. And yes. I feel liberated from this conversation. So thank you. I appreciate the world for bringing us together. I appreciate God. I really do. I appreciate God for connecting us. Yeah. And who would have thought, you know, one event back in May of 2023. Who knows? Who knows what the future holds? But it definitely holds you in it with me.
Yes. I'm affirming that. Thank you for what you do. I appreciate you so much. I really, really do. I love your podcast. I love the conversations you have. I love the light. You're someone who reminds me, yes, keep showing up authentically. That's what showing up authentically looks like. I appreciate
it. It looks fly too, man.
Fly. It looks so fly. Yo, that part.
So to everyone that's listening, this is where I have to say we're out. Bye-bye. There you have it. I trust you are feeling more empowered in your skin. As the late Dr. Maya Angelou said, when you get, you give. When you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at EIMS if you would share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you took from today's episode on your socials and tag us. Feel free to leave us a review over at iTunes and follow us on social media at Empowered in My Skin. Finally, remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. See you soon.